Kathy, would you grab an agenda and bring it to me, please? Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Welcome. Can you hear me? Is this loud enough out there? Okay, let the record reflect that all members of City Council are present, and we'll begin, please, with a moment of silence. And if you would please rise and face the flag, we'll be led in the pledge by Mr. Ron DeCarli.
I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good job, Ron. Welcome, everybody. Glad you're all here. Just a couple of things. Wanted to congratulate the Chamber of Commerce on a very successful Avocado Margarita Festival. It was a beautiful day. We had a big crowd. The music was super. The whole event was great. So thank you, Craig, and all your staff and everybody at the Chamber and all the volunteers who came out and helped. And this is Harbor Festival weekend, Saturday. Harbor Festival Saturday and Sunday. Please come on down. It's one of the coolest things we do here. And that's it for me. Carla.
Good evening, thank you. And I'm going to cheat and start out just to recognize our city manager, even though she didn't want us to, for winning a triathlon this weekend. Out of 269 women up north, she took first place, so great job, Andrea. Integrated Waste Management had its September meeting. They are moving forward on the ordinance prohibiting single-use bags in all businesses. The first reading of that ordinance will be at the November 9th meeting with the intent of the ordinance taking effect in September of 2012. Second reading will be in January. CMC is moving forward in meeting the state guidelines for AB 109, which is the realignment of inmates. It doesn't mean they'll be releasing inmates as much as the new inmates coming into the system will be shifted to the county jails. So if you're interested in that, you can find that information on the web, AB 109. Eco Rotary is meeting on Thursday, the 29th at 5:30 at the Morro Bay Golf Course. There's a sign workshop this week for the city sign ordinance on Thursday, the 29th. Here at the Vets Hall from 9 to 12. And this Friday is the football game at Morro Bay High School.
Monday, October 10th is the day that women in California gained the right to vote. And so we will be having a party honoring all the women in San Luis Obispo County who are in public office now or have ever been in public office. That's from 4 to 7 at the Dela de Adobe, and there's some more information up there. There will be refreshments, and it's all free. So it'll be a wonderful event. Please plan to come and join us. Also, on a little more serious, well, that's a very serious thing, but also, tomorrow, Cal Poly is having the open house for their new Small Business Development Center. That's from at 11 o'clock in the morning at the Cal Poly Tech Park, Building 83. And that should be very interesting. We mentioned Harbor Festival. Also, Morro Bay will have a big presence in Savor the Central Coast. And I can't remember whether who was going to do this, but towards upgrading our old town area, and it really has made a big difference. Oh, there's Taylor. Thank you again, Taylor, for all your help. And that's it.
Thank you. Everybody's covered it. I was going to talk about the Harbor Festival, and hey, this is one event that we get a lot of local people out. You get to see, you know, somebody you haven't seen for a while. So This is one event that I think everybody here should get behind and support. So anyway, we'll see you out there.
Thank you. I have a couple of announcements regarding the positions I sit on for the city. First is with the National Estuary Program. We have our Comprehensive Conservation and Management Plan public input hearing coming up this actually, it's going to be this Thursday, September 29th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Sea Pines. That's the National Estuary Program's update that they're doing for their action plan for how the estuary is going to be managed and the projects that they're going to focus on. And it's a sequence of meetings, and this will be another opportunity for general public comment. So, again, that's this Wednesday, 6 to 8, at Sea Pines Golf Course in Los Osos. And if you'd like to submit comments, if you can't make that, you can go to their website at mbnep.org. And that'll be ongoing through the year. So please pay attention to that if you're interested. And with their Air Pollution Control District, we have a hearing tomorrow to talk about the fugitive dust rule for, or the potential of a fugitive dust rule for the Oceana Dunes Off-Road Vehicle Park. And that's going to be tomorrow, Wednesday the 16th, or actually, the September 28th from 9 till, I would estimate, around 1 o'clock at the Board of Supervisors chambers, and then again on November 16th. This is going to be Rideshare Month in October. It's a month to celebrate alternative transportation options, including bus, bike, walking, carpooling, basically anything but driving alone. And there are all sorts of things planned for the month, including Transit Tuesday, where every Tuesday all RTA-based transportation is going to be free. We have Bike Fridays with a whole bunch of different events. Carpool Wednesdays, where you can get up to a $20 credit towards your fueling if you are carpooling. And a whole lot of other things. You can find out more about that at rideshare.org. And that's October once again. And I would like to give Ms. Luker a chance to talk a little bit more about the sign ordinance. I know a couple of you have mentioned that, but I think it's important to make sure we get the message out there. So if you wouldn't mind, Ms. Luker.
Thank you, Councilmember Smuckler. Just to reiterate, September 29th and then a second workshop, continuing subjects. So if you attend one, it's great to attend the second one. September 29th, 9 to noon here at the Veterans Hall. If you can't attend, certainly email us your comments. Email them to Mr. Livick, the Public Services Director, or myself. Our email addresses are on the website, and we encourage your attendance.
You finished? Carla?
I'm sorry. There's one thing I want to get out there. I attended two meetings this last month regarding the PG&E closures and the effects in our coastal area for our commercial fishing. And the commercial fishermen in the community are forming groups right now to be representative at the table with PG&E in regards to the seismic studies that will be shutting down our fisheries next fall. The potential shutdown is 5 months, but they see this as going on much longer because of the marine mammal requirements. So I just want to make sure that the community is aware that this is going on, and with these closures means that our sport boats, our commercial fishermen, our fish markets, all these businesses all the way down in this community will be affected. So I hope that all of you will be aware of what's going on, pay attention. This will affect our tourism, and it could definitely have some long-term effects. So they are starting to work with PG&E, and I want to make sure that this community, the city of Morro Bay and everybody in it, knows that this is happening right now.
Why don't you, you know what they're going to do. Why don't you explain that in 30 seconds?
Yeah, the closures?
The boom.
They're going to be doing sound generation, where they're going to be shooting sound guns, cannons, whatever you want to call them, off the back of the boats. That will be their intent is to start at a low decibel to have the fish leave the area, but then at that they'll keep increasing it to do their 3D imaging for their seismic studies, which are being mandated right now. And I think one of the maybe unknown or unintended parts of this was not thinking about the commercial fishing industry from Port San Luis, Morro Bay, on up through San Simeon in those areas. And the interesting part is it's through marine protected areas, which have already been closed. And most of the commercial fishermen are concerned about the long-term effects. So this is going to be very far-reaching with that.
Thanks. the feeling is that these boom guns are going to kill all the larvae, and then that's going to affect the fishing for... Everybody gets 3 minutes at the mic. Good evening. Welcome. Thank you for coming, Todd.
Good evening. First of all, I'd like to thank Mayor Yates and the entire city council for allowing businesses like ourselves to come here and showcase what we're about in this type of environment or platform. I really mean that. Thank you. My name, again, is Todd Collins. I own and operate Araka's. It's a new restaurant located on the Embarcadero. I operate it with my entire family. It's located across the street from Wavelength Surf Shop. It's where the old Whale's Tail used to be. Our hours of operations are 11:30 to 9 daily. We have 10 employees. Most of them have graduated or are still attending Morro Bay High School. Our business plan was really simple. We wanted to create a fun atmosphere, good friendly service, great value, and amazing quality of food. We really focused on our quality of food. We prepare all our sauces fresh daily. We also buy the finest and freshest ingredients and make everything fresh. Our recipes have been handed down from generation to generation to generation, dating back hundreds of years back to Italy. And it's an old school flair in new Italian style. And we offer the traditional Italian food, some of our dishes, eggplant parmesan, but with a old school flair. Baked lasagna, butternut squash ravioli, cheese ravioli, chicken parmesan, just to mention a few. Yeah. Being Bayside and having some killer Bayside views in our dining room, we do offer an array of seafood. Our pasta seafood supreme has been a big seller, linguine and clam sauce, clam chowder bread bowl, of course, fish and chips, a fried calamari, and my favorite, soon to be famous, the Araka's combo. Our customers were really having a hard time deciding when they got to our register what to order. Do I get the fish and chips? Do I get the fried calamari? Do I get the bread bowl with clam chowder? So we decided to give them the best of both worlds. So we offer the Araka's combo, which is a half order of fish and chips and a slightly smaller bread bowl served with our homemade clam chowder. It's a great value, lots of food for only $9. 35% of everything we sell is a Araka's combo. Yeah. We also wanted to be kind of a cool hangout for our locals. So what we did is we deemed Tuesday night family night where kids 12 and under can eat for free. Every Tuesday night, all they have to do is the parents order an entree and the kids eat for free. And if you like beer like I like beer, Araka's offers some really cool beer specials. $6 pitchers of Blue Moon from the time we open to the time we close. Buckets of beer, mix and match any 5 domestic beers for only $7. So we really offer something for everyone. We have a good array of salads. Our sandwiches are off the hook. We have a meatball parmesan that's made with fresh meatballs, homemade marinara sauce, 2 types of cheese, and a fresh baked roll.
We're all starving now. Yeah. Thanks.
Well, good. That was why I'm here tonight. We also really want to play a big presence in the community because we love this community. We have families in this community. So we really help the local charities. We've been donating gift certificates for fundraisers. We sponsored teams. This Thursday, we're sponsoring the Morro Bay football team, varsity football dinner at the high school. Next month, we'll be hosting a party for the kids at Los Osos Middle School and Morro Bay High School that raised money for the food drive. So we're here. We're active. Come on down. Give us a chance. That's all we ask. I'm sure you'll be pleasantly surprised. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks for coming down tonight. Ms. Angela Nelson.
Mine's not nearly as yummy.
Angela is with Rideshare. We welcome you tonight. And you, sir, may follow Ms. Nelson. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. As the mayor said, I'm the program coordinator for Rideshare. We're a division of SLOCOG. And I just wanted to come here to thank you a little prematurely for the recommendation that's going through on item A8 to make a proclamation for Rideshare Month. And Noah did such a wonderful job already sort of highlighting what's coming up. I just wanted to go over with those of you who don't know what Rideshare Month is, a little bit more about it. October is Rideshare Month, or our Commute for Cash Challenge. Rideshare, in conjunction with our partner organizations, challenged the San Luis Obispo County to shift gears on how you commute, so that instead of driving your car by yourself, you're going by foot, by bike, to their friends, and let us know. We also have daily prizes, which are gift certificates from local businesses throughout the county. And then our grand prize is a private 15-person trolley wine tour in Edna Valley. Participation is easy. As Noah mentioned, and I'll repeat, you know, you walk, you take your bike, you ride the bus, carpool, vanpool, work from home, and then you just register and log that in on rideshare.com, .org, and that instantly makes you eligible to win daily and weekly prizes. Plus, you feel good for knowing you're doing something good for your community. As far as this year, this month is slightly different from last year. We are going to do Transit Tuesdays. Every Tuesday in the month of October, anyone can ride free throughout the county on any fixed transit bus. Carpool Wednesdays, you have an opportunity to win $20 in gas if you're carpooling and we catch you doing it. Vanpool Thursdays, this is an opportunity for people who are interested in trying vanpool and aren't sure how to get started. Anyone can try it for free on any Thursday in October. And then Fridays are bike Fridays. So we're going to have bike breakfasts every Friday morning and bike happies after work every Friday in October. We also have discounts at local bike shops, 25 off tune-ups on bikes, and workshops on learning more on how to drive your bike and do your own maintenance.
Thank you,
Angela. I have some flyers here and a Chico bag for you that I'll hand over, and thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Angela. Thanks for coming tonight. Sir, please.
Mr. Mayor, council, staff, I'm Chuck Rose. I live at 630 San Joaquin Street. I'm here to promote Neighborhood Watch. Most of you are familiar with the caroling cop car each year, Christmas. This event is co-sponsored by Neighborhood Watch and the Police Department, and we certainly appreciate the community, businesses, organizations, and individuals who generously provide the funds to make this a memorial event to every child, young and old. But Neighborhood Watch is much more than this, and our purpose is to act as additional eyes and ears of the police department and to assist residents in ways to make their neighborhood safer. We also encourage the reporting of unusual activities directly to the police department. Some things I'd like to draw your attention to. We currently have a website. It's called neighborhoodwatchmorrobay.com. neighborhoodwatchmorrobay.com. And soon we'll have a Facebook page. Secondly, we're working with the police department to help them host an open house in January or February of next year, where they will be introducing a My Cop program to the community. And you'll have to stay tuned for more on that. Secondly, we meet every month on second Tuesday, Thursday. It's 11:30 at Dorn's. Have a lunch, brief business meeting, and then an update as what's happening in our town. You're invited to join us every month. And this coming one, Thursday, October 13th, 11:30 at Dorn's. And so, I end with an encouragement, as the dog McGruff says, why don't you help us take a bite out of crime? Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck. Thanks for coming down. Who would like to go next? Dan Riddell, come on up.
Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council, my name's Dan Riddell, 560 Morro Bay Boulevard. I wanted to say a few things about item C1, since I'm not going to be here at 10 o'clock tonight. The Visitor Center, Morro Bay Visitor Center. I understand the desire to run the Visitor Center in a more professional manner, but I'm on the board of the chamber. I was on the board. I voted to hire Craig Schmidt as this new CEO. I have all the faith in him in the world. He has proven himself to be professional and most importantly, friendly and a people person. And he and John Weiss and others have put together a list of ways to make the visitor center more professional, and they're asking for a 9-month extension, and the staff recommends it, and I'm in favor of it. I look for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Good evening, Craig.
Craig Schmidt, Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce. Thanks, Dan. My mom is here from Ohio and watching tonight.
Hi, Mom.
So that was perfect. Hi, Ruth. Love you. I'll be home for dinner soon. I want to thank everybody also for the Avocado Margarita Festival help that we had. It was a tremendous success. We had over 3,200 people in attendance. We managed to raise quite a bit of money for the Community Foundation and for the Chamber of Commerce's program of work. So thanks to all the volunteers that made that happen. I also want to give a shout out for the Merchants Pavilion at the Harbor Festival. The Harbor Festival has reached out to the business community to allow them an opportunity to showcase their businesses.
Just passed having a woman vote in Saudi Arabia. Second of all, I also want to thank the city staff for putting the workshop together to remind everybody how important tourism industry is in the city of Morro Bay. Second of all, most of us hotel owners come to you always with solutions when we want to make change. And again, the staff recommends the continued status quo. Well, with that being said, us hoteliers agree for the first time at this time with the status quo until June of 2012. Because everything we have asked the Chamber of Commerce or the contractor to do for changing the visitor center, they have done so over multiple times we have asked them. So Chamber agreed, and we wanted to make sure we commend them, the Chamber, for doing that. But we, as the one-third contributors to the visitor center, which is about $50,000, we will continue to hold, as hoteliers continue to hold the Chamber of Commerce or the contractor, to bluntly speaking, basically standing on their throat to make sure that they continue making the changes and make sure they accommodate the visitors instead of accommodating the contractor needs, because that's very important as to why the visitor center is there. Lastly, I just want to point out to you on the staff report on page 3, where the hoteliers believe the promotions and the director of tourism is very important for us. Since we all have most of the stake in this, I ask you, instead of having the staff making decisions on where the director of promotions should be and who should run it and so forth, I ask you to go back and throw this back to the TBID or the promotions committee together to come up with some solutions in hiring this person, because it is a very important position to make sure that we continue on with the changes that we're trying to make. And we all hoteliers appreciate you accommodating for the changes that we have asked for in the past. Just so you know, for the second time this month, I can come in front of you to say that we stole market share from the surrounding areas. For the second time in a row, for July, we ran a 76% occupancy compared to 72%, so that's 4 points ahead of last year. Where the whole county ran, unfortunately, we're still behind a little bit. They ran a 78% last year and an 80% this year. So their gain in occupancy was a lot less than what we ran. So what we're doing is the right thing. 2 months in a row, I can come in front of you to say Cambria, unincorporated areas, other parts of the county, we're able to go ahead of them year on year. So we actually took market share from those areas. Unfortunately, our average rate is considerably behind the area, but it doesn't matter. We're gaining bodies, and I think we will continue to do so. And I also want to point out to you, the hoteliers are finally smiling for the businesses that we're bringing into this community. So I appreciate your support on that. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Who would like to go next? Gary?
Good evening, Mayor, City Council, and the worker bees of Morro Bay. I've got 3 fantastic events coming up pertaining to photography. First of all, the Harbor Festival, what did we have? We had food, music, vendors, and local merchants, historical society, and all that. What did we have? We had food, music, and so forth. So Hunter came to Suite 1. That's Bill Shushuk and Tracy that owned that the photography artsy store there on the Embarcadero. And Hunter had a great idea. He said, why don't we add a little bit more culture, and we're going to put up a, I think it was around a 2,000-square-foot tent. It's going to be a juried photography show along with crafts. You can still get your pictures in. Anybody out there in TV land that wants to submit and have it judged, it's across the street from the post office, so take your work in there. You only have a couple days left to do that. It's going to be fantastic. It's also, there'll be other items to sell, postcards, pictures on the wall that you can buy. Secondly, we're going to have our bird festival coming up, and unfortunately right now I lost the date of the bird festival. But that's another great photography event. It's been a great event for many, many years in Morro Bay. It's brought a lot of visitors in. It's a multi-day event. And I know I'll be teaching Digital Photography 101 along with Dean Sullivan and Bill Shushuk. They're going to be teaching some wedding photography and all that. But we're going to have one fantastic sunset event. It's going to be beautiful. You're going to have to wait until we get our brochures out to read about it. But stay tuned. And the other one that's really, really, that I really enjoy is the Morro Photo Expo. And the reason why I'm talking about it now is to put it on your calendar. It's going to be March 30th to April 1st in 2012. We waited a year because we wanted to change the dates. We didn't like the month that we had it in October, so we switched it to March. So we had to wait 1 year because people keep asking me, what about the Morro Photo Expo? It's one great event. We're going to have Arthur Morris, if nobody knows him. He's the world's premier bird and nature photographer. He's going to be our main speaker. We're going to have photographic tours, nature and wildlife talks, portfolio reviews, wildlife and macro photography, taking your photography to the next level, HDR, travel, and so forth. And that's going to be one heck of an event this year. It grows every year. Because it's a multi-day event, what does that mean? People are going to come into town, stay in town. That's our focus. In our restaurants and so forth. You know, I'm a world traveler, and I shoot pictures professionally around the world, but Morro Bay is one of the top 10 as far as I'm concerned, because all year round is different. You either take pictures in the fog, or you can wait at the birds. We have birds that come from all over South America and Alaska, and they
developed a strategic plan for the Chamber and Visitor Center with the goal of better service to our visitors. We've adjusted our methodology to better track visitors to the visitor center, which are at record numbers presently. Weekly polling of our hotels for their weekend vacancies and posting at the visitor center is one response as we try to be more responsive to the motels and hotels and our visitors as they come to town. Currently, we are researching the relocation of the visitor center based on objective data. The process has started with the request for an agendized discussion regarding the promotion committee willingness to help fund. We're investigating the possibility of working with Hearst Castle to install a Hearst Castle satellite visitor center. We're developing visitor center kiosk at Main and Highway 41 and at the mobile station near the roundabout. And we're facilitating signage to the current location of the visitor center, which came out in the workshop as being deficient. We're installing a guest book for visitor comments and email addresses for possible marketing. The Chamber of Commerce, Board of Directors, and staff are committed to continuing to make our visitor center as functional and effective as possible. To that effect, we request a 9-month extension to our contract. This extension would enable more effective planning, better budgeting, and implementation continuity for service requests for our stakeholders. Your suggestions and solutions are always welcome. And I'd like to, while I have a moment and have your attention, want to thank those involved with Eco Rotary. This is, of course, a different hat altogether. Noah, Taylor, Carla. We were able to provide zero waste at the recent Avocado Margarita Festival. We will also be manning one station at the Harbor Festival. And the goal of Eco Rotary is to make every event in Morro Bay zero waste, which, of course, we know is very good for our environment. So thank you for your support. And have a good evening.
Thank you, John. Who would like to go next? Good evening, Dan.
Good evening. I am Dan Glessman, a Morro Bay resident. I want to publicly thank Council Members Borchard, Johnson, and Smuckler for their difficult but responsible votes confirming the SEIU labor contract. The importance of holding the city pension commitments to a sustainable level is driven home in a heads-up article I read last weekend. I'll give you some of the key points. The article is titled, Tin Hat Time for Pension Funds. For pension funds, it is the worst of times and the worst of times. Stocks are getting pummeled and the prospect of a global slowdown increases. The S&P 500 is down now more than 10% year-to-date. Meanwhile, already super low bond yields are getting even lower thanks to the Federal Reserve's latest extraordinary easing action. The 30-year U.S. Treasury bond at one point last Thursday yielded less than 2.8%. This is the kind of a 1-2 punch that will worsen pension funds while also making the contributions required to fill the holes even bigger. And if nothing else, the market's current malaise again highlights the lunacy of both public and private pension funds continuing to believe that on average they can generate an annual return of 8%. The article goes on to say that governments are slow to reflect change in calculating their deficits. I understand they smooth changes over several years. But that smoothing, combined with what appears to be overly rosy rate of return assumptions, puts a fig leaf on the problem. With plans set to be even worse shape long-term, taxpayers and some municipal bond investors are at even greater risk than they realize. So in conclusion, thank you again for putting our city on a better path with a two-tier pension system for new hires.
Thank you, Dan. You beat him. Good evening, John.
I didn't see him coming, so sorry about that. Hi, I'm Joan Solu, and I am your Morro Bay TBID chair, although I'm not here representing the TBID in any form tonight. I do want to kind of tell you, though, what your group of volunteers who have other lives, children, and businesses that they run on the outside of the TBID have done over the past 2.5 months. We welcomed with a warm handshake BCA, and you see the lovely Sherry sitting in the audience from BCA taking notes tonight, and she's been just such a pleasure to work with. She started the ground running in her high heels and went right over the hurdles that have been thrown at her, so she's been doing a great job. Some of the things that we've done in the past 2.5 months, we have solidified a contract to get the Morro Bay visitors guides and rack cards into, 8 California Welcome Centers and 4 airports, including San Jose and LAX, the Pismo Beach, San Francisco, and you will see us in 2 commercials featuring Morro Rock and a female surfer. Why do I mention all of this? Because I have about 4 more pages of stuff that we have done as volunteers, and I would ask that tonight, as you read the staff report, that you would bring back and hand back to the TBID to take a look at how we could form a partnership to create a director of tourism or a director of marketing position that would carry this city through without having it to be done haphazardly and parted together by a group of volunteers who are really trying really hard but also enjoy their families and their personal lives. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joan. Good evening, Hunter. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening. Good evening, members of the council and staff and the public watching at home. My name is Hunter Kilpatrick, and I'm the executive director for Morro Bay Harbor Festival. It's here. We start the build tomorrow morning. I just want to let the public know that we have a really exciting, fun-filled, and a lot of new things that are going to be happening this year for the festival. We're starting off 9 o'clock on Saturday morning with a Paddle What You Got contest. It's going to be a fundraiser for survivors. And meet at Coleman Beach. Everybody's going to start their paddle with their paddle boats and their kayaks and their canoes all at the same time, go to Target Rock and back. It's a short race. It's a lot of fun. That starts the activities on Saturday morning. We have a lot of new vendors, but more than about 70 or 80% of our vendors are new. We've been looking for new vendors, and we've got a lot of new artists that are coming to support the art show. The Merchant Pavilion will be greeting all the visitors as they come. It's the first thing they see. They'll be going through there. Carnival Cove is a lot of new stuff in there. We got the water balls to play in. The Tiny Trotters, the Little Pony Rides will be there. Rock Wall, two very big inflatable slides. A lot of educational and outreach opportunities with the fishermen and with the Marine Education Outreach Wing. Our entertainment is off the hook. We've moved the stages a little bit. Saturday we have a wonderful, hopefully a big concert with the Young Dubliners, getting a lot of attention. We're moving the music, extending the festival still closes at 6 on Saturday, but we're extending the music into 7. Hopefully it'll keep a lot of people here in the town. They'll use our restaurants. They'll see what our nightlife is like and enjoy a little bit of Morro Bay outside the festival Saturday night. And then Sunday, it runs from 10 to 6, and our headliner on Sunday is Ronnie Montrose, who's a really big star from the 80s. It's a power guitar band. He's bringing a special guitar that he'll be signing and autographing on the stage, and we're raffling that guitar off for $20, and all that money will benefit the charities and the volunteers that put on the festival. Many of you know that the festival is put on by about 500 volunteers from a lot of community organizations and nonprofits. And these groups are what divides the proceeds from the festival up. It's one of the major fundraisers for over 30 volunteer groups within our community. So I hope to see you all there. Latest weather reports looking at the 73 to 75 degrees. No winds. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. It's going to be a fantastic showcase weekend for Morro Bay. So y'all come out, and if you catch me in between breaths, I might say hi. See you this weekend.
Thanks, Hunter. Good luck. We're all looking forward to it. Good evening, Betty. Welcome.
My name is Betty Winholtz. Before I address the agenda, I would like to acknowledge and thank the Swimming Pool Foundation for holding two workshops over the last 11 days and getting input from the community, and hopefully that will come to fruition in the next few years. Anyone that's interested, I'm sure, can find them online or talk to Mr. Woods in our Rec and Parks Department. The consent item A6 is the second reading that eliminates the Planning Commission from the Municipal Code. Council Member Borchard stated at the last council meeting during comment that she believed that the planning bylaws incorporated into the advisory board's handbook were in addition to, not in place of, Municipal Code 2.28. Since the city attorney chose not to correct her misconception before the vote was taken, and lest any other council members are under the same misconception, it is stated quite clearly tonight in both the title and report that this action removes the Planning Commission from the Municipal Code, where state law says it belongs, in spite of the fact that the city attorney calls its presence in the Municipal Code, quote, unnecessary, superfluous, obsolete, and redundant, unquote. Tonight's public hearing item B3 legally moves the Planning Commission's direction from the Municipal Code to the Advisory Handbook. My objection to this remains the same. The guidelines for the Planning Commission are more easily manipulated in a document that requires a simple resolution versus one that's more rigorous review, such as the city ordinance. So I am not in favor of this. To round out my comments tonight, I would like to read a proclamation that the SLO Board of Supervisors, the City of Atascadero, the Pismo Beach City Council, along with dozens of other coastal and non-coastal communities from Canada to California, are honoring this week. Whereas the sea otter is a symbol of wilderness, an integral part of California's natural ecosystem, and serves as an indicator for the overall...
On item C1, and I'd like to speak to, you know, what I see as the underlying issue to that and other things we've been discussing, and that is the plain and simple fact that we don't have clear lines of responsibility for who's going to take care of what with regards to promoting our tourism, and why it's really a good idea to have a director of tourism, somebody that can be responsible to take input from all the various boards and commissions and the ideas that citizens can put forward, and then have a coherent plan into the future. But what I see going on is we're trying to kind of fit all those issues in the holes that are already there rather than having one single responsible person. I think that that hasn't worked so well in the past. I do see some improvements, I have to say, with regard to that. But I think that we need to keep the big picture in mind, and the big picture is someday we need a director of tourism. How will we make that happen? And I hope your discussion tonight gets to that exact point. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Anybody else? Anyone? Going once, going twice, back to council. Thank you all. Thanks, Todd from Rocas, not Rocas, I mispronounced that. Angela from Rideshare. Chuck Rose, thanks for coming tonight. Dan Riddell, Craig, John. Well, we got three. No, John Weiss and Gary. And, oh, we have three Johns. I was right. So I lost track of one of the Johns, John Barta, and then there was another John, and it's John Solo. Thank you. Dan, Joan, Hunter, Betty. Appreciate you all coming down tonight and speaking. Thank you for your input. Let's knock out consent. Let's see if we can knock out consent. Does any member of council want to pull any items? Start with you.
I'd like to pull A1, 6, and 7.
Oh. Well, I don't think this is going to go as fast as I'd hope. Do you want to pull anything?
It should be pretty simple.
No.
Do you want to pull anything? Okay, could I hear a motion, please, approving items A2, A3, A4, A5, and A8?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. A1, Noah.
Yes, on A1, it's just a simple correction there. On page 6, there's a... We have a comment there. Mayor Peters called for a break at 6:45. Oh, great. I didn't see that. All right. Then I'll move approval of A1.
Second. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. A6?
A6, I did want to give the city attorney the opportunity to comment on the public comments that were made. If there's any change.
No change based on the comment. It's still direction of council to remove the planning commission section, and we're replacing that with the section that cites the government code under B3. You'll have that later on this evening.
And so, as far as state regulations,
you're in compliance with them.
Okay, I'll move approval of A6.
Second.
Give the second to Carla, who is a split second ahead. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. A7, Noah.
Okay, A7 is our report and findings related to the marketing workshop. I just wanted to bring that up because there were a number of people that were interested in that and participated. I know we're going to be talking about the other workshop for the visitor center later tonight, but I did want to make sure that people were aware that this is in our packet, the report on the results of that workshop, that anyone who's interested can access those results at the city website by going to our agenda for tonight, September 27th, and actually review those results. And I did want to give Ms. Luker a chance to talk about any future actions you see. It sounds like BCA, our marketing firm, is going to be using these results as they develop our marketing plan, which will then come back for our review. But if there's anything else that you felt was important to add, I want to give you the chance to.
Thank you for the opportunity. I think you said it perfectly. The marketing plan will be available in mid-October, and we're using the documents, the information that we gleaned from the workshop to create that.
Okay, great. And I would recommend anyone who's interested to take a look. It is interesting to see the results, and that we had good participation and the opinions that came out were interesting. So with that, I'll move A7.
Second. Board to its staff to see if there could be cost savings or efficiencies identified through either better coordination or consolidation of transit services within the county. And that group broke down into regions, and then the sub-regions started to hold meetings to discuss their specific areas, because the North Coast may have different needs from the North County, and they may have different needs from the South County. So over the last couple of years, the city staff and council of government staff
members from the Regional Transit Authority, RTA, as well as our former mayor, Janice Peters, had been meeting off and on for the North Coast group to discuss transit in the North Coast area. And what had come from that was a proposal from the Council of Governments that at the time was not really beneficial to the citizens of Morro Bay. There would be a reduction in service levels. And so follow-up meetings were held to see if those deficiencies could be remedied and addressed. And in June of this year, the Council of Governments submitted a proposal to the city staff, and that's the proposal that you're considering tonight and the one that went to the Public Works Advisory Board at their August meeting. This new concept is outlined in Attachment 2 and 3, which has the service schedule. I'm not going to go into great detail with that, but I do want to just outline briefly what that is. And it's a combination of a fixed route connector between the communities of Morro Bay and Los Osos, and then the demand response component is really focusing, utilizing the existing ride on transportation North Coast Senior Shuttle, which currently operates 2 days a week. And this proposal would include some additional funding that would expand that by 2 additional days, so there would be 4 days a week of senior shuttle service in Morro Bay. With regard to the senior shuttle service, it's for those who are 65 and older. The Monday and Wednesday dates are throughout the North Coast from Cambria all the way down to SLO. And you are limited to the number of times in a month that you could use that service. With the 2 augmented days on the Tuesday and Thursday, it's my understanding that there would be no limitation to the number of times that you could use the service. And there would be no service on Friday. So from a demand response side, with this proposal, there is a reduction to service for current users who use the call-a-ride service that's currently Monday through Friday. On the fixed route side, the proposal has hourly service, fixed route service for the north community, basically everything north from City Park. And then in the south, there is every other hour service, and what it does is it alternates between a loop in the south end of the community and then on the alternate hour going out and providing a connection to Los Osos at the Ralph's Shopping Center on Los Osos Valley Road. Another component of this is a focus on the high school and transporting Los Osos residents, Los Osos High School students in the morning and in the afternoon, having a more direct connection to the high school in Morro Bay here. And so what that does is the start time, it basically does its loop in Los Osos to pick students up there and stops at City Park before going directly to the high school and then continuing on with its regular fixed route operation. In the afternoon at the 3 o'clock hour when school gets out, the bus would go from the high school directly to Los Osos to drop students off there before coming back into Morro Bay and continuing along its regular route. So for Morro Bay students, it's really not a viable option because if you were to take the bus in the morning, you'd be an hour late for class. In the afternoon when you get out of school, you would have to go travel all the way through Los Osos about 45 minutes before getting back to City Park. So it's a really lengthy trip and is not beneficial. The other component to this is that a cooperative agreement would be created, and there would be 2 committees, the policy committee, which is basically made up of policymakers, the council, members from the RTA board, as well as Council of Governments and the county. And then a technical advisory committee, which is made up of the staff, who would be advisory to the policy committee. So that's the background and the basics of the proposal. I've illuminated some of the deficiencies that are currently part of this proposal. I'm not going to go into which would need to be revised to reflect changes if the council were to move forward with this proposal. There would certain cost components such as vehicle maintenance and facilities that would need to be removed from the cost allocation because those would be functions that would be transferred over and handled by the Regional Transit Authority. There would also, but there would still be some cost components that would remain. You have council with the policy committee, you have staff with the technical advisory committee, you also have some accounting and treasury functions. So those would need to be looked at and revised in accordance to what exactly is expected to be the duties that those individuals would be still related to transit. And so a very rough rough estimate of what that reduction would be would come down to about $41,000 for the cost allocation plan. So that combined with the operations cost is what the city was looking at as the total cost to the city for the proposed concept. Now the city receives Transportation Development Act or TDA funds to fund transit services. And in the current fiscal year, the city's TDA allocation included a one-time increase or bump to the allocation because of some, I think it was contingency funds from the prior fiscal year that had been set aside in case they were needed. Thankfully, they weren't, so they got put into this current year's allocation amount that got distributed out. So for 12-13, we would not be seeing that same increased bump for that for the city's allocation. So what we were doing was taking a conservative approach and using an estimate of the fiscal year 10-11 TDA allocation to look at how what transit funds the city would have and compare that to the proposed total cost with the cost allocation plan for the concept that the Council of Governments is proposing and seeing what kind of cost savings there might be. So we were looking at about $203,000, a little bit over that, for TDA that we would receive for use for transit. And the combination of the $162,000 and the $41,000 for operation costs, it's estimated that about $4,000 of savings of TDA would be reflected with this proposal. So the council, the Public Works Advisory Board considered this item at their August meeting. They had concerns with the service concept because there were decreases in levels of service to various parts of the community and various individuals in the community. The Council of Government staff had indicated originally that this was a final concept, but in a letter to the Public Works Advisory Board and a discussion that night, a public comment at the meeting, they had indicated that it wasn't final, that we could take a look at it and see if these deficiencies could be worked out. And when the advisory board heard that, that was kind of the thrust for their recommendation to take a step back, have council, government staff, and city staff continue to look at the current concept, see if those deficiencies could be remedied, and come back within a couple of months for consideration. So the Public Works Advisory Board recommendation is to come back to their board meeting in October and then back to the council after that. Staff's recommendation is a little modified from that, and I'll mention what that is in a moment. The other option, the other part that's not really talked about here in the staff report is if the city council doesn't want to move forward with the proposed concept, doesn't want to have additional time with the Council of Governments to see about modifying this proposal, the next question is, where do we go from here? And really the response to that would be is then we would just look internally to our own local system, Morro Bay Transit, Fixed Route, and Call a Ride service, and see if what can we do to that service to make it more efficient, make it more effective, bring it up to the fare box ratio requirements for the state, which we currently are not meeting, and look at ways, what can we do to lower our costs, increase our fare box, and come back to the council with various options of what to do with regard to that. And staff's already in the process of doing that to some extent. The Regional Transit Authority has recently changed all of their North Coast routes to meet in City Park at the same time and leave at the same time, one hour advisory board recommendation to work with the Council of Governments to determine if these deficiencies in service levels can be modified, to return to the Public Works Advisory Board at their December meeting, since their October meeting is coming up and there would not be enough time to meet with the Council of Government and RTA staff, but to come back to the Public Works Advisory Board at their December meeting for consideration of a proposal, and then come back to the council in January for consideration of a final proposal, or to determine that the Estero Bay Transit Service concept as proposed does not serve the best needs of the Morro Bay residents and to not pursue implementation of this. So what I'd like to do is turn it over to council for any questions, comments, and to open it up to public comment.
Thank you, Janine. Before we open up questions for Janine.
Thank you, Ms. Burlingame. My first question is in regards to our cost allocation plan that you mentioned here, mm-hmm. For a very rough $41,000. And I would like to see that or a refined copy of that. I think that's an important part of this whole discussion and particularly important if we're talking with SLOCOG about the options to really be able to take a look at what that would be and see if there's any room for improvements there or so on. So is that something that we could have carried forward if we decide to continue discussions tonight?
Certainly. The document is available from the Administrative Services Director, and I can ask her to forward the portions of that that relate to transit to all the council members, if that's what you would like.
Okay, great. And in your opinion, if we go forward with continued discussions, you're currently planning on continuing to refine our local option with the RTA option regardless of our actions tonight. It's, you know, that's not something that we would postpone or delay.
Correct. And it's something that, as I mentioned briefly, staff is already starting to work on. As I mentioned, the time schedule being able to change ours, see if we can change ours to have our City Park stop be at the same time that the RTA buses are there. Currently, the times that are set up for our service were based on RTA's old service, okay, which had most of the connections, but there were still some kind of clunkiness with some of them. With the RTA's change, there's like three or four different routes that come in at the same time each hour in the day instead of a couple of times during the day. So having our service come in at that same time too, where all the buses are pulsing at the same time, to provide better connectivity is, it's one of those, as was mentioned by the rideshare person, removing barriers. And so if we can make those meeting times much shorter, a couple of minutes instead of 10, 15, 20 minutes, it makes it more appealing and more user-friendly. And so we certainly are looking at things like that, looking at our current hourly productivity. Are there hours within the day that are not being productive that could be cut back? Looking even at the fare structure, making some modifications to that. So it's a combination of stuff, a lot of moving parts and pieces, and we already are starting to look at that and would be looking at that regardless of whether or not the council moves forward with this consolidated option.
Okay, great. And my last question is in regards to the trolley. Obviously, as we go forward and get to a point where we make a decision, it would be helpful to know how the trolley side of our operations would fit, and that would be an interesting thing, I think, to make sure that we have some recommendations or options as part of that going forward from the city side, or whatever you think would be the most beneficial for us.
Well, the proposal that came from Council of Governments was dealing directly with the Morro Bay Transit component of it. When asked about the trolley service and how does this, you know, we have the service out here, it's seasonal, we would need to do something with that. It would have to be either a separate agreement that would be part of the cooperative agreement or somehow written into the cooperative agreement and how the trolley service is handled from the consolidated point.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's where it would be helpful to have a little more clear delineation of our cost allocation so we could start to see, okay, how much is involved with each of these different scenarios. And I think overall that would be important for us.
Well, the cost allocation that's talked about in the staff report relates just to Morro Bay Transit. There is
wanting to follow up on Councilmember Smuckler's request for the cost allocation information. And I guess on the trolley, I would be interested in would that potentially then just be a different contract? Couldn't the current current service provider still contract those services separately as one of the options?
That is one of the options. However, because it's a seasonal service and not very many service hours total, it is unlikely you would have the current operator or any other transit operator bidding on such a small contract. For the type of setup, they would have to come in. You would need an office. You would need personnel. You would need, you know, all of those things set up, and really being able to have both the year-round service plus the seasonal service makes that more appealing for someone to want to come in. But it is an option that does need to be considered.
Thank you.
I'll just speak up here. I mean, we've talked about this. It is the feeling with staff that if we sever the contract with the contractor that operates now, they'll leave. So then the trolleys are a separate problem, how to operate those. Am I saying that correctly?
Well, that certainly is something that they may do. The other option is taking it in-house.
Right.
I
wasn't talking about options.
Right, but it is.
Okay.
Not having the year-round service makes it more difficult to make it appealing for the current operator or any other transit operator coming in to operate just that small seasonal.
Who runs the San Luis Trolley service?
San Luis Obispo.
In-house?
It's run by their contract that out. It contracts their trolley as well as their fixed route buses.
Okay, thank you.
Everybody good? Okay, this is a public hearing. Now is the time to hear Ron. You or your staff may come up first.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council members, and staff. My name is Ron DiCarli.
Can you pull the mic down to your mouth? Thanks.
I'm the director of the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, and I have Elian Wilson with us, who's the staff planner on transit. They could probably answer some of the more detailed questions. Our agency is a planning and programming agency. You know, we help fund like your roundabouts, your boardwalks, and fun stuff like that. We are also, however, an oversight agency on public transit. And in that case, we annually look at productivity improvements, and we're required by law to help try and enforce various improvements of all systems to make sure they are as effective and efficient as possible. And if they're not, we have the authority and to the obligation to withhold certain types of money to assure that they are. So it's kind of in that vein when we've looked at transit, overall transit, public transit in our county, in our state's in trouble, continually increases in costs and continually reductions in funding. We were able to squeeze as much efficiency out of systems up to a certain point. And we found in our region we're hitting that certain point throughout. And we've been focusing on trying to look at consolidating transit services, primarily reduce administrative costs. That's kind of the spirit that we've recommended the changes that you have before you now in terms of trying to consolidate and save money. Our prime concern is your current system is not sustainable. We allocate money on a population basis. Morro Bay's population's flat. Every year you get less money because we allocate it on a percentage basis. So you have an ongoing sustainability issue with transit. That's the reason why you've had to cut back on your dial a ride. As costs continue to go up, your revenues continue to go down. You will be continuing to face that problem. It's through those reasons that we tried to look at this more of a consolidated system to reduce costs. Your current system is a poor performer. It gets about 5 people per hour, about half of what a normal fixed route would get. It's getting 4% revenue fare box ratio, which means 4% of the revenues is helping to pay for the system. Typically, state losses, it has to be at least a 10%, and if you're in an urban area, it's 20%. So it's a very poor performer. It's getting about 12,000 riders per year. You need an additional 14,000 riders to meet those costs, to meet those fare box ratios. You have no connection with the regional system currently, and I think that hurts your fare box ratio. I'm glad to see your staff raising that that's something that if you kept the system, that you would look at changing, because I think it would help your fare box ratio. You're now spending about $109,000 in overhead to manage a $140,000 contract. That was one of the first reasons we brought up, is spending a lot of staff time throughout all the different departments to run this system. We're under some form. You need to seriously look at your system and make it more cost-effective to meet those fare box ratios. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Who else would like to speak on this? Anyone? Step right up.
Hello, Council Mayor, everybody. My name is Mark Lancaster. I was here a few months ago when there was some issues with the what we're talking about, and it's advanced to a some proposed stuff that I was just found out about today. And all I want to say is, the last time I was here, being a North resident on Main Street, I had to come here. I came here with interest for the people that live in the north part of Main Street, past San Juancito area, and RTA was going to bail that out on their northbound and not even go Main Street. Anyway, they've worked together, and they're, if you, as long as you let the driver know, they will still go down Main Street. Anyway, that's been rectified. Yay. And because I'll be going to school, and I need to be able to get home at 5 o'clock or somewhere around there. What I wanted to mention, the last time I requested, if, since RTA's done some awesome stuff, I ride the bus and transit, and I've seen some awesome stuff go on, and I've seen a lot more smiles on patrons riding the bus, because they have a grasp on the fact that it's simple, it's on the top of the hour, or excuse me, 33 after the hour at the in San Luis, and if we can make it at the top of the hour, give or take 5 minutes, with Morro Bay coming in, especially at 7 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock at the latest, for people to get to work or people to get to school, like I. And if Morro Bay is transit is still has or starts their first day off to get to start and end up at 7 o'clock at the Morro Bay Park, along with the other three RTA buses that are sitting there ready to go north, south, inland, would be really awesome if that can be coordinated. I think there's a big lull. People are confused by talking to people. They're confused. They don't know when the next bus is going to go. So if there can be some arranging to where there could be some definite times, it's not the top of the hour, you need to go somewhere, boom, it's going to be really easy for everybody to understand, and it might work out to help Morro Bay and keep people moving from point A to point B, I think. And this is my second request for that, just to keep everything working as a well-tuned machine. Be great. it's working that way in other cities. I see it. All buses wait there, and if you let the bus driver know I'm connecting to so-and-so bus, they will call ahead, and they will wait, and you get on your bus, and you go. So I can go from Santa Maria to Morro Bay in a matter of an hour and 20 minutes with coordination.
Thank you. Thanks for coming down tonight. And we hear you that it's the second time you've spoken, so we're getting the message. Come on up.
Amy Wyatt with RTA, and I'm the manager of marketing and schedule planning and something else about interim executive director for a little while. So I'm happy to be here, and I really just wanted to introduce myself and let you know that as in schedule planning, and I'd love to say it was some big department, but it's me. I'm a bus rider first and foremost. I used to ride from Cambria into San Luis, and I still ride from San Luis to work, not very far these days, but I know lots of people on the bus and riders. I believe in senior shuttles and senior services. The challenge is, as we've talked about, in trying to integrate fixed route and senior door-to-door services is pretty high. I know that you all grapple with that and believe it's important, too. We've had some conversations about opportunities for senior shuttles and volunteer programs, like in Cambria. I used to drive the Cambria community bus when I lived there. So, again, I believe it's important. I wish we could all publicly fund those things, too. But I hope that we can make some progress. We're pretty excited, even with our new changes in our fixed route service.
I appreciate the information. Thank you for coming out, too. And I would absolutely agree that we've been in serious trouble for a long time. My feeling is, since I've been on the council just the last 2.5 years, the challenge has been financing this, and I agree that it's underutilized for what it costs, and our admin cost allocation fees are extremely high, and everything that you said. So I'm not going to repeat it. I think that there's the potential to take this opportunity to continue to work with RTA and SLOCOG and trying to refine this program. As I do agree 100% that the existing program we have is not sustainable. And so I'm hopeful that there might be a way we can move forward with some other options.
I pretty much agree with what Carla just said. I think not only is it not sustainable, our current system, it's really not meeting the needs of a lot of our citizens. So that just kind of adds to the lack of sustainability, in my view. I really think that we need to look probably at number two from the PWAB, which would be to determine the concept that what is proposed right now doesn't serve our needs, but I don't think we need to throw out the baby with the bathwater. I think we need to go back and work to refine the system and find something that does work for more people more efficiently. That would be number one, not number two.
Well, it seems like that both the council ladies that just spoke on it are right on it, that it is not sustainable, and we're going to have to do something about this, and I mean not keep going on. We've got to do it immediately. But we got to remember, though, service is really important, and it keeps dropping and dropping and dropping. And so I don't know what we can do about it right now, but I know if we all work together and get together on this, that we're going to figure it out. But number one thing is we want good service to these people that rely on these buses.
Thank you. I actually have a couple questions for Mr. DeCarli, if that's okay. Okay. One question
if
I have.
If you can keep your answers kind of.
Oh, no, please come up to the mic. It's not going to take very long. One question is about the shuttle, the demand response shuttle. And it wasn't clear in here if that is a door-to-door shuttle
basically kind of a caller ride or what we've had before. Is that the case?
What your caller ride does is it's a fixed ride deviation, so you get picked up where you ask for being picked up, but then you don't get brought directly to where you want to go because the bus returns to the fixed route and eventually will get to a bus stop close to where you want to go and then make a deviation from there. The senior shuttle is a direct door-to-door service.
Okay, and so that is part of the proposal, and the concept is you have the traditional Monday and Wednesday that goes from Cambria all the way to San Luis as the option, and then the proposal is to add, at this point, a Tuesday-Thursday, which would be exclusively Morro Bay and Los Osos, door-to-door.
Right. And then okay. An alternative on Friday that would be shared with Los Osos.
Okay. One comment.
No, I'm wrong. So
it's just 4 days a week.
Four days a week.
One question I would have or request, I guess, is I noticed that there wasn't any discount options available as far as bulk purchasing or so on. That would be interesting to look at as we go forward. I know people appreciate that, and it really helps them, make that economy of scale as far as their commitment to the program. The other thing that I felt was important to bring up at the PWAB meeting, you had mentioned that, you know, there's our current drivers, whether we go with this program or not, our current drivers have an amazing knowledge of our riders and the town itself, and you had mentioned that there would be the opportunity to offer them commitments to them to be hired into the new program, and I just wanted to know if that was still something that you could commit to.
That's very typically what happens when one system takes over another system. That would be up to the Regional Transit Authority, but that's the typical practice.
Okay, great. Those are my questions. I just had a few other comments, and one was I had a chance. There's a bus system for the high school, and both principals did say that they're seeing good ridership and participation with their bus system. So they indicated that it wasn't necessarily as important for us to have a special focus on them during those morning and afternoon hours. What they did say was that it would be helpful for students who are having an extracurricular activity after school, such as sports or music or whatever it is, for them to have an option, a general option, to be able to catch that bus to get home. So I felt like that was an important point so that perhaps we could pull away some of the resources for that morning and afternoon from the schools and make sure that they were still covered but not spread ourselves too thin in other areas. So those are some of my comments, and I think it's important that we do go forward with this. And again, I think that cost allocation plan, for that to be available for review, is going to be really important for us to make our decision.
Are you supportive of recommendation one?
My one last comment would be that we have currently the Public Works Advisory Board meeting is scheduled for the 17th of November. Is that correct?
Their next meeting is in October. And then I think that's the 17th.
Oh, yeah, December.
With their the agenda packet and staff reports, and it would go out the week prior to that, which is why part of staff's recommendation was if the council wanted to move in a direction of having some continued discussions on the current concept, that you actually delay that to their December meeting, because that would give us barely a week and a half to meet with COG staff and then be prepared for the October meeting.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that December meeting then is the 15th of December, Thursday. And my request would be, if possible, to consider the public transit opportunity for Mark made the point at the last PWAB meeting that people that depend on the program were going to have a hard time making it to the meeting. I know it's challenging with scheduling and timing, but if there's an option for people, that would be helpful, I think, to make sure that we get that opportunity to them to be able to attend or to be able to submit comments prior to the meeting in another fashion. So that's just something I think would be important.
Cool. I'm supportive of number one, but my thing is on but I don't think they've been very loud. I'm sorry, the public comment is over. So I apologize, Mark. Regarding sustainability, this is something that we have to help pay for, and sustainability seems to me like political will. We have to have the political will. We have to want this service and be able to support it within our budget. And, you know, we have that ability, but it takes political will. So that's my main comment on this. Is there anything else from anybody? Could I hear a motion then accepting staff recommendation number one? I think it's laid out there just fine.
So moved.
Here. Discussion. Anyone? Everybody know how they're going to vote? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carries 5-0. So we'll be working with you, Ron, and your staff, and hopefully we can, you know, bring this to something that satisfies both parties here. You got our messages. We don't want to cut our service for our local. We hear from our citizens all the time, and we can meet somewhere there and make that work. That'd be great. B2. Give this to you, Chief.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. We are fortunate once again this year to have the opportunity to receive state COPS grant funding. You may recall at the start of the fiscal year there was a sunset clause that went into effect, which basically cut the ties to a vehicle licensing fee fund related to the COPS grant. This, combined with the pending state budget crisis, created the situation which almost caused us to lose the entire COPS grant. I'm pleased to say that with a great deal of work at the state level, the funding has been once again been tied to the VLF fund, and it's anticipated we'll receive the full $100,000 amount. Legislation requires that the police chief prepare a report to council at a public hearing on how the funds are proposed to be spent. That is what is before you here tonight. We have put together the following proposal and how we can best utilize COPS grant funding this year to benefit frontline law enforcement. For a second year, we plan to fund our part-time property and evidence technician. This position provides critical functions that allows us to continue providing the basic law enforcement services. This position is also responsible for providing live scan services to the public, which generates revenue, and it also is a critical component of Operation Medicine Cabinet. Because we have no budget.
One, and I bet you have a really good answer. If you use this for your, your evidence clerk. What happens if you don't get the money again next year?
The evidence technician position was cut out of the budget last year.
Right.
So this is the second year we've put it under the COPS grant money. This COPS grant money is not guaranteed every year. Last year was the closest we've come to losing it. If the COPS grant discontinues, we would have to look for another funding resource.
Welcome. Anything over here? Could I hear a resolution, please, approving resolution number 68-11?
So moved.
Second. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. We're going to take another 10-minute break. B3, Mr. Schultz.
Good evening. This item is ordinance number 573, which is a cleanup ordinance. It will change the title and content from council men to council members in order to be gender neutral. In addition, ordinance 573 will add section 206040 in regards to the appointment of boards and commissions in order to make certain the city is in compliance with state law. This goes hand in hand with your earlier ordinance that you passed on second reading. And we open it up for request that you open up for public comment and then introduce it by number and title only.
Thank you. Noah? George? Nancy? This is a public hearing. If any of you would like to address council, this is the appropriate time. Anyone? Bring it back to council. Go in reverse order again. No one? George? Oh, that's the same order. Nancy?
I just want to say thank you for changing it from councilmen to council members. I appreciate that.
Carla? Could I hear a motion, please, approving ordinance number 573?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0.
This is ordinance number 573, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Morro Bay to amend section 2.06 of the Morro Bay Municipal Code from councilmen to council members and adding section 2.06.040 regarding appointment of boards and commissions.
Thank you. Good job there. Okay, C1, Ms. Luker.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council. On Thursday, September 8th, we held a workshop that was focused on identifying opportunities to enhance the effectiveness of the Visitor Center. That was per direction from you from your July 14th, 2011 City Council meeting. In addition, and included in your staff report and the background section, which I won't go over, are about 16 or 17 different things that either the City Council and or the Visitor Center have initiated changes over the last 11 months to improve the operations of the Visitor Center. Specifically at the Visitor Center workshop that was held in September, 23 community members participated, and those members identified potential opportunities and activities for the Visitor Center and selected the top 20 to further assess. We used real-time polling technology, and the participants rated the importance, the current performance, and the consistency with the Morro Bay image to identify the most critical activities. We've attached a chart to your staff report, which gives you the results of those 20 potential opportunities, both indicating the importance that was the participants viewed and the current performance. So it gives you kind of a feeling for the tone of that. During the meeting, approximately 70% of the participants polled were satisfied with the Chamber of Commerce operating the Visitor Center. Those that weren't satisfied with the Chamber operating the Visitor Center expressed concern about the Chamber sharing resources and transparency and accountability of public funds, as well as concern that non-Chamber members received unbiased and equal treatment. There will be a complete detailed report from the workshop that will be available to you in the very near future on all the information. One issue that was not raised at the Visitor Center workshop but was raised during the marketing workshop and again tonight was the concept of director of tourism position. While there's been no specific description or job description of this position, we're looking at it seems that many of the duties that have been associated with this position in current public testimony are currently the responsibility of the marketing company and or the Visitor Center or Chamber of Commerce, such as public. The staff recommends that the City Council continue to have the contract with the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce to operate the Visitor Center. We heard tonight that the TOT has been increasing as well as occupancy, and I think that is a direct result of some of the things that we've been doing. Certainly relationships are much better, things are going smoother, and we're looking forward to a continued cooperative working relationship. I'm happy to answer questions that you might have tonight.
All right, questions for Andrea, and feel free to ask Craig if you need to. Carla? Nancy? George?
I just wanted to ask one thing. I recollect, excuse me, that when they were polling this satisfied with the Chamber of Commerce operating the Visitor Center, there was like 14 people voted, and I recollect that 8 said 2 and 6 said no. That doesn't seem like it's 70%. That seems like more like 57%. Can I be corrected on that, or was in my recollection
I don't think that's correct. That's a tough word for me tonight. This is information that I've got directly from the gentleman who operated the workshop. We will be getting back the slides, but my recollection is that it was a much higher percentage, similar to what's stated in the staff report.
Well, I know there was 6 said no, and there was 8, you know, so that's not there. Well, whatever. I just wanted to point that out.
Noah?
No question.
Okay, well, I'm supportive of, you know, I think the chamber has been very, very responsive to the concerns and has made a lot of changes and continues to, and of course, Craig, everybody's supportive of you, Craig. You've done a great job, and I don't know anybody who's not happy with the job you're doing. So we appreciate you and your openness to change, and appreciate the changes that you've instituted down there that really are what the community wants. So you've been doing great. So I don't have anything else, I guess.
I have a lot.
Oh, me, you guys. I forgot about you.
Yes.
I thought I got everybody.
Questions, not comments.
Okay,
you said questions.
Nancy.
First, in reference to what George was just talking about, the 70% of the participants polled, et cetera, I tend to agree with his recollection as it being closer to mine, based particularly on the fact that I think the count of chamber members and chamber board members versus maybe TBID members, the count of who was who, I really felt when I was there like the vote went along those lines a lot. I could be wrong, but I just feel like I should support George. Now, I too feel Craig has done a wonderful job. I am especially happy with his Economic Development Committee that he started and a few other things that are going on. I do have a few suggestions. First, I'm willing to extend this until June based on some conditions. One, I want to see a big sign, preferably a pub-type sign, that directs people to that public restroom. The door doesn't do it. We've asked and asked and asked. It hasn't happened. I want it before the next 6 months are up. We've talked about a location for the visitor center and the value of combining or separating the chamber and the visitor center. And I think it was John Weiss this evening who said they're looking into it. That's not good enough. They need to hire or find an outside agency to do that. Somebody who is not a chamber member, not a TBID member, somebody who can look at it very openly and unbiased. I don't think this is for them, but I really want to report on the feasibility of the California Welcome Center. That's probably not a job for the chamber or the visitor center, but it needs to happen. They need to institute more flexible yet fixed hours based on visitor counts, based on the time of year. The stores don't open until 10. If they open, say, from 10 to 6, weekends or when holidays, I mean, this can be set up so that people have their hours and they know when they're open. TBID seems to be the most interested in the director of tourism, and I think we need to instruct TBID to develop and present a report on how to pay for a director of tourism, as well as a job description. And that would be a separate job description for a director of tourism or a visitor center. So that's all.
Is that all?
That's it. If I think of anything else, I'll let you know.
Thank you. So I'll agree with a few of those things from Councilmember Johnson in regards to signage on the restroom. And I don't know if that's the responsibility of the Chamber and Visitor Center, although I think we probably directed towards that, or the responsibility of the waterfront leaseholder in general. But the signage has been really lacking for a long time. It used to be there, and it's not now. But I agree with that. I also would agree with Councilmember Legan Johnson, as I attended the workshop, that the interests in how those surveys were done were very divided, in the sense that three-quarters of the table that was there were members of the chamber board and had a vested interest in the chamber, so, and then others that were TBID. And so it kind of skews the percentages, I think, some into a real reality. What I saw in the discussion, really, in what the visitor center is doing, were the discussions listed about concerns, information, things that were brought forward, the hours of operation, the personal welcoming experience, those things. Really, there's two things that come out of it that is their job. One's fulfillments and one's the capture guest information. You know, are they? You train somebody for that personal experience. The rest is just ongoing business, and that's doing the business of the visitor center to reach out and you know, for me, that's actually what they're doing is the fulfillments and the guest information, which they've talked about and addressed, and I do think we've taken huge strides. I worry that when we send out 1,000 fulfillments, if our rate of return is 20%, we get 200 people who are interested. Even if those 200 people a month come fill our rooms, you know, it's a couple $1,000 a month in TOT versus what it's costing us for that visitor center contract every month, which is, you know, $12,000-$13,000 a month. So I'm not sure how equitable the rate of return is. And it's gotten better. It's getting better. We're heading down a good path. I believe there's certainly the need to take a look at a different location, and I would prefer it be an outside source so that it's not somebody who has a conflicted opinion of it, and also the employee to do the events that's listed in here at $35,000 a year, splitting that. I'm not really sure. It wasn't real clear to me how what the visitor center contract responsibility of that share would be, other than, you know, are we supposed to pay $35,000 of the visitor center funding or $17,500? And so I didn't have a lot of clarity on that. I do support continuing with the contract at this time till June and continuing to work forward.
Hey, let me address a couple of these things. I've heard a lot about the public restroom being closed, too. That's the boatyard. I guess I'm going to look at Rob and ask you to. I know that that's a condition that stays open down there as
correct.
A public restroom, correct?
Correct, and it's not a
yeah,
chamber
it's
issue.
Right.
It's a issue ongoing with us, and we can look into signage from our end, and I'll talk with Harbor and figure
and
out how we
I
can.
I guess if it's not inappropriate to ask if you would consider possibly writing the owner a letter and asking them to follow the conditions and keep it open all the time, because there is a sign on there a lot that's closed.
Yes, we will follow up on that.
Please.
I observe this a lot. Is there like three restrooms there? I thought there was like a restroom for men, restroom for women, and then there's a combination men and women, a handicap. Now, I see that they keep the handicap restroom open, but the other ones say private. Now, that's the way I've seen it when I walked in there. And I understand the problems they have down there probably keeping those things clean, because not only the people from the visitor center using it, but just everybody else. And I don't know who's in charge, if there was anybody in charge of keeping them, but I think it's kind of just a group of people down there just taking care of the restrooms and volunteering to do it. And you can see that, you know, I can see their problems. But I do believe I'm right about that the only one that is open is the handicap restroom for both men and women. And other ones are closed. It says private on it. So
we'll check into the specifics.
This you know, this is one of the problems I have with the location down there, is because it just, I like to see a location where we have restrooms right in there for specifically for the people that come to the visitor center, you know, have a nice lounge where they sit down. And the area down there where they were at, it's really.
I talked about it, I think, starting last April. It just didn't happen this past summer. But it is on their radar, I know, because we've talked about it in the last 6 weeks.
Well, I think
that's a coming thing. That's an active.
Well, and I think the point of what I had to say was that by extending this until next June, we'd like to see these things begin to start happening. The things that we've talked about need to happen.
Well, okay. I would respond back. A lot has happened.
I agree.
Great. And then finally, I don't want to lose track of the tourism director. I don't want to get to next June, and we haven't made a decision, and it's this is a big deal to a couple of us anyway. Move this along somehow. I just don't want it, the discussion to be happening in the middle of next year, and then it's the end of next year, and, you know, if we're not going to do it, I'm fine with that, but let's keep movement on that, would be my request. Do you have something? No? Yes.
Also, I was brought up partially over here about the money that's going down there. It does seem like a lot of money, $150,000 a year to run a visitor center. I don't know how the rest of them feel about this. I don't mind extending this thing, but I just wondered, if do they really need all this money? It seems like a visitor center could be run by about 1.5 people, but I'm not there doing it. I don't understand all that goes on, but when you think about the people, you know, look at this, what they're showing here with the people that call, the people that come in. It's so convoluted. I think I brought this up a long time ago. What's happening to this money that goes down there?
Go ahead and address that.
The Visitor Center and the Chamber have made a, I'm going to say, very significant effort to keep the money separate, and there are monthly reports that go before the TBID, and there certainly are available to City Council members to show you exactly where the funding goes and how it's split up. In addition, the Visitor Center has been providing specific invoices about how the funding is happening. So the information is all there. I think they've become extremely transparent in the last 11 months. And what I can suggest, Councilmember League, is that we sit down and go over that with Mr. Schmidt, because it is available, and I think it'll become very clear when we review it.
Well, all I know is not too long ago they ran a lot cheaper. I mean, the money there was like what, $70,000, something like that. And just not too many years ago. So what has caused this so much more need for money? I don't understand it.
I'm looking forward to our meeting.
Okay. Right on.
Noah.
Thank you. I agree with many of the comments, particularly the one about the chamber and the transition that they've made and the effort that they're putting into, you know, being responsive, listening, being open to new ideas. You can feel a change in the tenor there, which is really appreciated. And I'm thinking that it is important to try to put this discussion about the tourism director to rest and to be very focused on exploring some options. It seems like the T-bid is the obvious place to really be the workforce behind developing a concept that the other groups could also be a part in and look at a fair funding mechanism. And I think along the lines of the events, it makes sense for the Community Promotions Committee to really evaluate some options for that position, because that's obviously one of their areas of focus. And so if they could be related as they look at those two different concepts, but also bring back their recommendations. You know, I'm not going to say how they should do that, but I think each one of them is very clearly tied to those positions more than the other. So it would be important for them to be able to do that and communicate back to us and to the other participants and stakeholders. And I agree that we don't want to let this continue to roll on. We really need to take advantage of this effort that's been put in and keep the effort moving. So I think Ms. Johnson's suggestions are good, and particularly about the location, I'm really happy to hear that the Chamber's already looking into that. I would just say that, and I think they understand this, that to have that non-biased third-party component just helps everyone accept those results, and we can hopefully put that to rest as well, which I know they recognize. So those are my comments.
Anything else? Anything else?
I would definitely agree with your suggestion to move this whole question of a director of responsibilities, and how I'm sure they have ideas on how to pay for this. And it would be nice to see all of those in a nice, concise report.
Cool.
And TBID's the right person to do it, group to do it, I think.
Anything else? Then I'm going to ask for a motion approving the recommendation and the further recommendations 1 through 6 on the staff report.
So moved.
Discussion.
That would include then that staff would move forward with making the recommendation to TBID and community promotions for those positions for the event coordinator and tourist director, correct?
Is that on there?
No, but the direction is from us.
That's not on there.
No, I'm talking about the direction from us, including the direction from us.
Well, I would have to amend the motion.
I made the motion. Oh, I moved approval. You're right. Thank you. I stand corrected.
Should we get amended? Who made the motion?
Me.
You did.
I asked for the motion, and she said so moved. Let's get it clear what you want, and we'll get it amended.
Do you want a retraction?
No. Just let's amend the, get in here what you just said.
Amend the motion to include directing staff to work with TBID and community promotions for the event coordinator, potential event coordinator, and potential director of tourism positions.
And who seconded?
Oh, sir.
Did you second it?
It never was.
It was never, okay, great. Cool. I just want to be clear that we're not sending the message, because I've kind of heard this a few times, that the events coordinator and the tourism director are not the same person. I mean, I'm not in favor of 50% events coordinator and 50% same person. I kind of heard that from you guys. Do you want to speak, Andrea?
What I'm getting from your direction is to give this to the TBID and the CPC and see what they come back with. Staff has included in our staff report a concept of what could work. It sounds like the direction I'm receiving is that you're asking me to give this issue, not our.
Let's define the issue. That's what I'm trying to do.
My understanding is the issue of the CPC looking at an event coordinator and the TBID looking at what is a director of tourism.
That's definitely
how does it fund?
Cut it in half. Okay, are you good with that, Carla? Is that what you wanted? Okay. Any further discussion?
Yes.
All right.
On number 5, implement a review of the current location and parking arrangement of the visitor center, either through a cooperative study with the chamber or outside consultant. I would like to eliminate the words through a cooperative study with the chamber and just have it be an outside consultant.
I have to look at the motion maker. Is there anything else that we want to amend? Do you have anything up your sleeve for an amendment?
No.
Is there anything else after this?
I don't think so.
Well, it says either through one or the other, and the chamber's already working in somewhat, and we've already given direction to staff that we are, that the intent is we want a third party looking at it. So I would hate to amend it and remove that either. It says either.
But you have the, as long as you have the direction that we want.
I do.
An outside source looking at this.
Well, that's not
what it says.
No.
Yes, it is.
Either or. Either through a cooperative study with the chamber, or an outside consultant.
So I guess. I'll
And I'm okay with that.
I'm not.
Well, unless you can vote against the motion, unless she's willing to change it.
So I would probably, I'm going to defer to the city manager then, just for clarification on what the path is we've headed on that.
My understanding is that the Chamber of Commerce is going to be requesting from the Community Promotions Committee funding for a study for an outside organization. And I think that's the other part of this, is that it's not going to be something that's done at no cost. So I think the anticipated cost of it is about $5,000. I believe the chamber will be requesting that from the Community Promotions Committee. So that's where we are. We put it either or. It can be whatever your direction is, outside, inside. But if it's outside, there will be a cost associated. We'll need to fund that in some manner.
But I think, if I can, the concern would be that the check would be coming from the CPC to the chamber, and then the chamber's seen as the administrator of the study, and I think they understand that they'd want to try to remove themselves from being seen as being in that position of overseeing the study. So we can feel confident, even though it likely wouldn't be an issue, but we can feel confident that the results are strong and we can base our decision on those results.
I believe there's been a couple of particular companies not associated with the chamber that have been identified that can do such a study at a reasonable cost, so they're outside the chamber. And if the CPC authorizes $5,000...
relationship with the city, so...
You know, this is something that we can handle ourselves.
Okay,
I don't think we need to have an agenda item and vote on it. I mean, if you want one of anybody you want to honor, just ask me and we'll honor them.
Okay, excellent.
That easy. Anything else? Anything from staff? We are adjourned. Thank you. Send me an email on that and I'll take care of it.